Welcome back, everybody, to Overdunk episode 62. My name is Zoinks, and this is your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. I am joined by one of my favorite teams on the planet, one of the most historically successful teams in the game of Unite, and currently one of the most recent successful teams after winning your EOS Cup for North America. I'm joined by TTV, and what a pleasure it is. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining you guys. Already I'm getting Sea Dog questions in chat. We'll have to get to those soon. But before we do that, I do want to give everybody a chance to introduce themselves in case anybody in Unite Monks or listening in podcast land doesn't know who you are. We'll just go in a circle, but we'll start with you, Evocron. You want to introduce yourself, the role you have for the team, and just, yeah, a little bit about how you joined TTV.
Hi, I'm Evocron. I am the analyst for TTV. Ender basically picked me up after February, or just before February, either. Before that, I was competing with my own team, and I do a lot of work with Unite DB. I'm an advisor there, and from that, a lot of math, a lot of information, and yeah, Ender just reached out to me.
Sweet. A lot of math. That's an important role in TTV. I'm excited to dig deeper into the analyst role. We've only had a few analysts actually on the show for interviews, so I'm excited to pick your brain a little bit. But Ender, you were the next one up. Introduce yourself, what role you play for the team, all of that.
My name's Ender. I play the support or more healing-oriented role for TTV. That's me.
Cool. Celestial?
Hello. Celestial, you know, I'm now a toppling slave. forced to play Blue Dog. That's how I roll.
Forced.
Yeah, I've heard upon rumors. Yeah, the force has been greatly exaggerated. Zugrug, you are next. What's up? Introduce yourself to everybody.
I'm Zugrug. I'm the bot lane guy, tank player for the team.
True. Are you any particular kind of slave, or do you feel like you have freedom on this team?
I usually get to play what I want, but these guys love Slowbro.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, we'll have to dig into that too as well. And then Lutano, welcome to the show as well. Thank you so much for the raid. But Lutano, introduce yourself to everybody here.
I am Lutano. I play the Central Area and like Gardevoir. It's fun.
Yeah. Gardy is a fun Pokemon. Yeah, a bit of a role swap for you, but since you've been playing it now for so long, I feel like it's tough to call it a role swap in general. But to start the show, I obviously have to just say a huge congratulations to you as a squad on winning AOS Cup NA. You dropped one map in groups and one map in the top eight, but other than that, a flawless run to being champions. Very impressive. You guys brought a lot to the table. It was a lot of fun to watch. So again, huge congratulations to all of you as a team. But let's start a little bit farther back. This roster of five on TTV, obviously we don't have Otter on the show tonight, but is a little bit newer. Celestial, we kind of talked about how you joined the team recently on a different episode of Overdunk, but in general, this roster forming up, Ender, do you want to talk about it a little bit? How did this roster of five kind of start, and then adding Evocron and Celestial, of course?
Sure. So a lot of people know our core, myself, Zug, Lutano. In the past, we had Goof and Toon, just historically really good friends. We all came to Unite together. We made a team. Toon has always been from EU, so he did come over to Canada to play for a season, but visa and, you know, just location-wise, he had to go back. And Goof wanted to move on to pursue TCG, where he's having a really successful gaming career there, so... Kudos to him, and Toon's killing it in EU as well, obviously. Yeah. So after Season 1, we needed to pick up two additional players. And honestly, we just took players that we were stacking with that we feel like we meshed well personality-wise. Cool. So Otter and Retsu were who we had initially picked up. We didn't have, like, a tryout phase or, like, a big team meeting. It was just like, hey, you know, we seem to be doing well. We like each other, and, you know, we know Otter and Retsu are good gamers. We saw, I mean, they're the two players that knocked us out of regionals, so they had to be at least decent. So that was easy. And then, like Evo said, around February-ish, I'd reached out to him to help us with some analyst work. We were having scrims, and we just didn't have a really good way to keep things organized. And I trusted his expertise from the math court in Unite DB. So I'd mention, hey, you know, we're going to handle ourselves for February. We just don't have the time or cycles to go through onboarding you right now, but I'd love to have you on after that going forward. He was down, which is great, and he's been an incredible asset. And then post-March, Retsu had some real-life issues come up that he really needed to attend to, and, you know, we missed the guy, but, you know, he has to take care of himself there, and we put out a message looking that we needed a top laner, and, you know, we didn't have a lot of time. Celestial rose up to the occasion. He was pretty much just like, when do I start? And we're like, okay, well, I guess you're good to go. He was teammate with Otter last year, and like, we trust Otter's judgment as well in players, and it wasn't a hard choice to make, and cool. I think we made the right one.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, essential success. AOS Cup winners of back-to-back Celestial, so congratulations to you having two AOS Cup titles to your name. Why don't you talk a little bit about joining this team, Celestial? Obviously, you're the newest addition of this current roster of five, plus the analyst of EVO, of course, but how's it feel gelling with this team? Do you feel like it was an easy slot in? Was there a few, did you have to kind of make a name for yourself on this team, or did they trust you right away? I know they're ready to call, but you just gotta say.
Okay, no. It was more so, I will say gelling was a little hard at first, you know.
Okay.
Obviously, I played quite different last year, you know. Mm-hmm. I had rather different play style. So it was a lot more controlled play style, but after a little bit, it all worked out. And yeah, I don't know. It's like basically it.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I think that is completely expected. Taking a little bit of adjustment time is something that you might need. But Lutano, I know that you historically played a top path for this team, but now have made the Central Area kind of your home. I know every now and then due to draft, you might flex up there. But how are you liking the Central Area this year? Is it a lot better than you were, a lot better or in terms of fun? Like, are you having more fun playing that role this year? And then how do you feel like skill-wise is it translating? Do you feel like you were a better top lane player than you were Central? Or better Central than you were top laner?
I think, top lane sucks.
Sure.
Top lane's miserable, in my opinion. I did not enjoy that role. Okay. Jungle has a lot more flexibility in what you do on the map. Mm-hmm. It has a lot more flexibility in what you play. Although, I mean, it's a little different now with, like, draft. Top lane gets to play a little different. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, but yeah, I mean, I'd never really enjoyed top lane that much, and I really, really am enjoying like playing jungle, getting to go where I want and play like multiple different roles.
Cool,
essential. So, yeah, I don't know. I like it way more than top.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you are adapting to it. And do you feel like you are performing just as good or even better now that you have a role that you're having more fun with?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I like. Want to practice more. I feel like I can get better practice because I can actually practice like different mons. Like in solo queue, I would just like practice Lucario mechanics in the past, and now I actually just, you know, get to, you know, experience more of the game.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's just I'd say I enjoy it way more, and it's easier to practice it because of that.
Fantastic. Well, and then Zelgrog, my next question is for you. I mean, you have been the defender slash tank, sometimes support, depending on how you look at it, in this newer metagame that we were headed into in Season 2. Season 2 has changed quite a few things for that bottom path, I think, but your partners down in Crime have changed a few times. Is it, when it comes to the bottom path on TTV, is it, I need to teach these new players the school of Zelgrog, or do you feel like you have to be the one to adapt when you're playing with new players in the bottom path?
I mean, me and Otter just, like, you know, we discuss the lane together, we, like, figure out, like, what the optimal way to play and stuff is, but, you know, sometimes I got a lane with, like, Celestial or Lutano, like, depending on draft, and, you know, I gotta be like, you know, we gotta do this, guys, but also just figuring out, like, what tanks and attackers work well together, right? Like, people have different opinions, like, this attacker, this tank work well together, but we've, like, really been working on just like finding the picks that like really mesh well together, like,
yeah.
What should we pair with Wiggly, what Wiggly would be good against, because like for a time we weren't picking Wiggly and we were picking it too much, but now we have like a good balance where we pick it in like spots where it's good, tree in spots where it's good, like we've done a good job like identifying good like what works in drafts.
Cool. Personal favorite pair to have there in the bottom path right now?
Wiggly Espeon.
That's pretty good pair. that's pretty devastating. That is really good. Now, Evocron, I wanted to ask you. I mean, you are the analyst for this team, and like I said on this podcast, I haven't had too many analysts on in terms of team interviews. Maybe one or two throughout the last year or so we've been doing this show. But what exactly do you get to bring to the team as an analyst? And then I also want to ask, what do you find the most fun doing when it comes to bringing stuff to the team? But go ahead, floor is yours.
So I do a lot of spreadsheets, working with formulas, seeing the ideal situations for itemizations, matchups. Like being a player, I've also a little bit experience in that manner, but these guys are like much more experienced than I do. So I'm taking a lot of feedback from them, understanding, hey, what do we want to do with this lane? And the other thing is like team compositions. It's kind of a puzzle that we have to figure out. What is the best team composition? What are some core pieces? And then how to navigate the draft and force certain things so that we can make that composition happen. It's really important to understand the mechanics and the math of the game for that reason. And like being in analyst position, like there's a bit of an arguably more important emphasis on macro sense, right? Because from a spectator point of view, I'm able to record and watch the entire fight from the zoomed out camera. So for our replay, we have that information then.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You can replay positioning that actually allows that for the. And then when you're in spectator mode, you are also able to see the enemy team movements too. So in post game, you can break those down as well. Be like, see, we forced them into this rotation, which means they show up here. That is really cool. I love that you bring up draft though too, because I mean that's obviously a big change for this team. And I think a lot of people at this point in time would consider one of TTV's best strengths to be within the draft screen. Do you kind of share that sentiment? Do you think that that's one of your team's best strengths is drafting well?
I would say so, and a big part of that is we have Otter, who is also like very intelligent about what happened. Both Otter and Lutana are very intelligent on. Everyone is intelligent, but
we're done.
The discussion playing it safe. The most discussion comes out of Lutano and Otter. From our team sessions. And we're looking at a lot of the times, what is this enemy team trying to pick? What do we think they're going to pick? And like, when it came to ASU for the finals this past weekend, we basically had the soul read. We had every single pick lined up. We knew exactly what they were going. We ended up knowing, we ended up predicting exactly what they're going to take. And then we had our own composition that worked exactly in our favor.
That's awesome. I mean, that's a good feeling. That's got to feel good as an analyst to see that playing out in the lobby all three games. Last question for you specifically, Evocron, is you, or this year rather, I know the United Championship Series has said that you are allowed to be in voice communication for the drafts within these tournaments. Have you partaken in that, or do you kind of prefer to take a step back outside of these games and just be more involved, you know, before or after the match? Or what are your feelings towards actually trying to be in there for the draft communications?
I try to prepare them the best that I can, but we are allowed to be in the call, so I will be in the call. And that's also like, at that point, I have a set of sort of pregame reminders. Don't do this, remember to do this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And when it comes to the draft, again, I'm sharing my screen at that point in time with like basically our notebook. And that helps visualize what the intent, what we want to be doing, as well as what choices we still have available left from the draft.
Cool. Well, that's awesome. I have just a couple more general team questions for a few of you, but Inder, I just mentioned that I thought drafting was one of TTV's best strengths. Would you kind of define TTV's best strengths as a different skill? Like, do you have one in mind that you think of as, all right, we are the best team in the world at blank?
I think draft, definitely we've improved on. I wouldn't say that at the start of the season it was our biggest strength at all.
Okay.
I think Evo and like Lutano, Otter, and our whole team coming together, like we've definitely meshed really well with our draft. I think, and you know, this is kind of just historically how original TTV like to play the game, is we really like playing the game very clean, like make no mistakes in the end game. Play a point game. Don't even let the game come down to Ray or Zap. Mm-hmm. And I still feel like some of our proudest or our best wins happen to be around that. Like during AOS, we had several games where we just took the initiative, and that's, you know, our half of full send coming together. But yep. I think our strong set is definitely like choke out our opponents, play really well in our lanes, and just, I mean, I don't really like doing anything too crazy. Just play the game the right way and win from there.
Okay. I like that a lot. Okay. Well, that is also something I got to ask, by the way. Celestial, you were playing on Team Full Send previous. I believe that was the matchup, right? It was Full Send versus TTV last year in AOS. That was where the game happened. But Celestial, that was the team known for full rip. TTV, the team allergic to ripping the Zap at that time. When you joined this team, were you the one making those play calls of like, we got to pull the trigger on this Ray? Or was that mentality already kind of being instilled within the squad?
I think at first I was kind of hesitant to make the calls. I think everyone was kind of hesitant to flip as well. And I think the more we played, it's kind of just like, you know, sometimes we need to just hit the objective and whenever, like, odds are a good thing, honestly. Odds are a good thing.
Yeah, play to your outs. Hey, that's that TCG player. I see you, Celestial. Yeah. You got to play to your outs sometimes. I completely agree. And yeah, the team was looking really, really clean. That's cool. Lutano, you've gotten already a few shout-outs from both chat and your analyst about being one of the members that is very involved with the drafting and things like that. Does that come from just past pro experience and other MOBA titles? Or like, do you just really enjoy that aspect of the game?
I'm definitely like, it's less that I enjoy it and more that I get extremely anxious if we don't have like every single line like done before sure. we even start draft, you know? So I'd rather put in like, I don't know, like 2 hours a night every night before like a tournament to really plan our draft and prep it than like go in and, you know, just like pick random stuff like that.
Yeah,
that does not fly for me. And I also, I mean, I did it in the past as well. And Heroes of the Storm, I was the drafter.
Cool.
For freedom. Sorry, go ahead.
Sweet. Oh, no, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you. I was honestly just going to ask, when you were planning and preparing for drafts, is it mostly thinking about your own team's compositions and how can we get these compositions? Or is it, I am planning for this team. I am planning to beat this team with this draft. How aggressive are you in the drafting screen, basically?
I mean, we plan every team's draft that we play against.
Sweet. That's really cool to hear. That is super cool to hear. I'm glad our scene is at that level, because, you know, there's Unite is a new game. Draft is less than a year old in this competitive atmosphere. I think there's probably really solid teams that don't do that. So I think that is a really good mark on your squad for winning a tournament and being a team that plans out drafts against every other squad. That's really cool. Also, Zug, I'm getting told in chat that I have to ask you about draft. How involved are you, or is it just tell me when I get to pick Slowbro?
Well, I definitely contribute in draft, but I also think my team thinks too much. So, you know, my contribution a lot of times is telling my team, you guys are thinking too much, you know, like, just chill.
There we go. We need it. We do need a rock sometimes in the communications. Lutano gets too stressed. Zugro can bring us back down and chill a little bit. I like that. I like that a lot.
I think one of the bigger aspects is because of how Unite works as a game. There's a lot less definitiveness on Pokemon choices. So we can take Dodrio into basically anywhere. We can take Blastoise into basically anywhere. We can play like lot of Pokemon are multi-positioned, which is very unique and very interesting.
Yeah.
The supporter and tank pool right now isn't that high as far as what Pokemon are available. So we may not be like Zubat and Indy may not necessarily be needing to worry about that right now. But when we get Lapras, when Goodra gets playable and when Umbreon. There are a lot of situations that we're picking that a pick can mean so many things, and that's from Lutana's perspective, like that is understandable why there's so much anxiety. But also from Zugrug's perspective, like we just need to play what we're good at. We just need to play the game as is, regardless of what pick we have. Mm-hmm. So that's also like important to recognize.
Fair enough. Well, awesome. I think that is a lot of good intel on your team and how you all work together and the ins and outs. I'm sure we mentioned Otter a couple times in the past. I'm not sure they're bringing their own element of wonderful energy to the team. Depends on how you define wonderful, but I think they definitely deliver on some of that. Let's start talking about AOS Cup. Obviously, you're the most recent champions here in North America. But you're now second on the championship points leaderboard. Is that right? So currently, you are holding on to a world's invitation so far, if you're able to stick in that leadership point spot, which is really, really cool. TTV looking great in that regard. But let's talk about the group stage, because all of that was off broadcast, so we didn't get to see that. I'm sure there was a bunch of people streaming some of your games, so I'm sure we got a few chances to watch out there somewhere. But talk to me about group stage. I believe you had a really solid performance. You dropped one map to Spinal. Was that the first game of the day?
Yeah. It was our first game of the day against Spinal. Okay. It came down to, like, everyone throwing their spells on the raid, pretty much. We were definitely favored on it, but we missed the smite. But the one thing in AOS with our group is one team didn't show up. So
that's right. That's
it was
right.
A group of three.
You had a group of three, so you just played two games, but you won both of them. So you were the clear winner in your group, and then it was, and then of course was tiebreak on the other end, right?
Yeah, the team that dropped out was our last matchup, so we had already, like, we were already in before having to play them anyways.
Oh, okay. Got it. All right. Well, any other word about groups? Like, was your matchups outside of Spinal pretty straightforward? Pretty big, just TTV win.
Spinal's scary to play against, man. That's what I'll say.
Yeah. Okay.
They play weird, man.
Yeah. Talk to me about why. Why is Spinal so weird to play against? I mean, other than the obvious, but I mean, pointing out why in server does it feel weird?
It's just, they play weird, man. They just, they cap, like, they don't play standard lanes, like, yeah. Their macro is weird, like, they're just hard to prepare for, you know?
Oh, absolutely. They are everywhere, all the time. It definitely feels like that. I mean, you were going up against the Sableye in that game as well, I believe, is the game that you lost. I heard rumor that it was a confused ray onto Lutano, that is why this ray went the other direction, but, yeah, that is a tough squad to play against. Do you think that they are, like, well, they got top four in this tournament. Would you all call Spinal top four in the region right now?
I mean, I think Spinal's really good. I think one thing with Spinal too, though, is, like Lucano said, they play different than other teams, and also, like, they really like Sableye. I think Sableye is a good pick, but you don't get much practice against Sableye because it's not a popular pick from many teams. So them just playing a lot of Sableye, like, you know, it can throw you off for sure. Like, the stuff they're doing with it.
Yeah. Okay. Celestial, would you consider Spinal to be a top four team, or do you think that they just had a really sick tournament and they're probably still good, but maybe not top four good?
Oh, okay. My mic. I actually do think Spinal is probably a top four team right now.
Yeah.
I think they play absolute chaos, and I think sometimes making the, you know, by the book wrong play is just the right play. Like,
yeah.
No,
it's
if someone's
just
not
so crazy, it might work.
Chaos. It's very very overpowered.
It's a powerful tool for sure. That is a tough one. I know you said you had plans to draft against every single team. I'm sure drafting against Spinal can be a bit of a headache. So I'm sure that one got a little bit closer. But yeah, they had a really, really sick tournament. I was pumped to see how well they did. But let's jump into the top eight bracket. So I can actually pull it up on screen here. I will share it for all of you so you can see what I am talking about, but I'm basically just looking at your Battlefry bracket. But yeah, let's talk about this. So your first game was up against Ignorance, the only other map you dropped in the tournament, and you did say Chaos was a value that's hard to deal with. I'd say Ignorance also pretty well known for playing stuff like this. They made it into top eight. They did 0-2 out of the tournament, but still coming very close, 2-1 and 2-1 against TTV and Luminosity, I think are pretty solid performances. Any word on how this match went down?
These guys are, they don't get enough credit for sure. Like, I think their players are all pretty individually talented. They're breaking onto the scene, and they did a great job against us too. I will say, and no discredit to them, but just like our only loss in the group stage was our first game of the day into Spinal, That was also just our first game of the day. So maybe we need to be better prepared going into tournaments, like warming ourselves up. We definitely didn't play our best in that game either.
Mm. Okay.
In all fairness, this is probably one of the earliest that the tournaments has ever been. And we have Lutano, who's West Coast, so this would have been very early.
No more 9 a.m. start time tournaments, man. I'm dying.
Yeah, the gamer hours are making Lutano crumble. That's no good. That's no good. Okay, so you did, and did you, sorry, the map that you lost, was it the first map of the game?
Yes.
Oh, my word. Okay, in those situations, you go down 0-1. It's a start off a match, a very important one. I mean, top eight, you're within the winner's bracket. How, who's responsible for bouncing the mental back? Who's responsible for, you know, regaining and making sure the team doesn't just lose it and go crazy? Or are you all pretty level-headed and okay in those situations?
I don't think anyone really tilted.
Yeah, I think we're all pretty good. You know, sometimes Zutano will say, wake up, guys, and he'll start doing jumping jacks or, like, slap himself in the face. Or, you know, remind our team that just one game at a time, you know, you know, we don't worry about the whole set. Let's just win the next game, and then, you know, we'll take it from there. But I think we're all pretty chill. Like, no one really freaks out.
There's a little disappointment for sure from my perspective, because I'm not the one playing, so I can't, like, really say much. I do remember just asking, like, hey, how did you guys feel about that? Was this a draft problem, or was it something else?
Sure.
Just kind of like walking
no more
something.
T-tar.
No more T-tar.
Yeah, that was one of the takeaways.
Did you play T-tar in this game one?
Yes.
Yeah. This first game was the first game was Tyranitar, Comfey, Glaceon, Espeon, Wigglytuff.
Oh,
the enemy team was Dodrio, Hoopa, Blastoise, Delphox, Slowbro.
Yeah, I honestly doesn't actually sound that bad, but okay. Just not working that first match, huh?
We just got Neon. Neon Delphox is too good.
Neon Delphox is pretty crazy good. That's the thing about Ignorance, I think, is I agree with you completely, Ender. I don't think they get the credit they deserve. It was a bummer we didn't get them on broadcast at all, but I do think one of Ignorance's biggest strengths is just individual play. Like, I think they have some really good mechanics on a few of their specific players. I think if they can refine those and get some, like, really solid teamwork down on the future, I think they'll be even better than they already are. So I'm excited to watch more Ignorance in the future.
They have a specialty of throwing off teams in general because of their picks and items are very unorthodox. Mm-hmm. Their pick for that game, for basically all games, I think, and it was Trick and Shadow Ball rather than the more standard Hyperspace Hole and Phantom Force.
Scribble Knot's a big Trick fan, I think, so makes sense. That's pretty cool. Yeah, Focus Panda Espeon, it's terrifying. But okay, you were able to win that game 2-1, and you moved on, and then you played GT. GT, it's you coming in pretty hot to this match. I mean, they just took down Luminosity 2-0 in their first game. That was our first broadcasted game, so they were pumped up, I am sure, coming into this matchup with a lot of energy, but you were able to turn that one 2-0. So obviously a pretty solid scoreline for the squad, but was it a bit closer than the scoreline shows, or were you pretty much in charge the whole time?
I feel like game one of that set was a little close. Like, it came down to Rayquaza, but we had pretty good odds on it.
Okay.
And then game two, I don't know if they just had miscommunication in draft or they really were cooking something up, but I think they led with, like, Garchomp, Gengar or something, and we were just like, we just play normal and we should be okay, and yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, the Regrets Gengar showed its head in a couple of spots, I think. I don't think it won, but it definitely showed up in a few spots. They were cooking something. So it wasn't working. A bit of an outdraft scenario. You were able to move on. Amaterasu versus TTV. I mean, I really do think that this is becoming a fun rivalry, but the score lines are making it look like it's in favor of you constantly. Zugrok, number two versus the number one seed, you won 2-0. Was this a closer one? Like, how did you feel about this match? We actually had this one on broadcast, but how are you feeling about it?
It was definitely close. I feel like Indy stealing the Ray in the game one, though, like, probably, like, tilted them a bit, you know, definitely put the momentum in our favor. Like, you know, if we don't get that Ray still lose game one, you know, maybe they just take the momentum and beat us. But I feel like after we get that Ray seal, we're all, like, feeling really good, and then we 2-0 them, and we're okay, you know, if we get the rematch and the winners, we just 2-0 them, like, let's just keep it going.
One kind of cool story about your epic steal. I'm sure there'll be many stories. Many people will be remembering this moment for eons ahead. But the we were in person for this broadcast, which was the first time for North America that we had a studio show. So we had a studio crew. And the studio crew is different than the normal remote broadcast crew a lot of the time. And so naturally, a lot of them had never seen the game of Pokemon Unite, so as they were watching, they were slowly understanding the game and getting more into it, and by Winner's Finals, they absolutely understood what stealing a Rayquaza means, and I kid you not, like, me and Chef and the entire crew that wasn't just casting, we were all, like, jumping up and down, popping off at the Intersteal. It was crazy, like, from people who had never seen the game before to begin, like, oh my god, an egg! And we were, like, losing it. It was pretty great. Felt like Christmas morning. It was awesome. But yeah, crazy game win. Yeah, I do think the tilt probably swung at Amaterasu there. I mean, how could it not? But game three of the grand final that you played, only four sets to win the whole thing and win 10 grand. That's got to feel pretty good. But hey, TTV, you take down Amaterasu yet again, 3-0. Evacron, you were mentioning that you were very confident about the drafts headed into the grand final against Amaterasu. Were you feeling that same way in winner's finals? Like, you were like, no, we got a good read on them?
We actually had the best read in winners specifically. When they were dropped down to lower bracket, we almost felt that, like, some of the strategies that they were employing almost felt like they took a bit of what they learned from the winner's final draft into mm-hmm. that. So there's a little bit of concern coming back to it, but we ended up grabbing exactly what we were looking for and made a couple of minor adjustments. Yeah. But yeah, we basically had the sole read on them for the entire final set. And it's not to say that these guys are predictable, but they're not predictable at all still.
Right.
But we just happen to have a very good understanding of what have they been doing this tournament? What have we been doing? What has worked for us? Mm-hmm. And we played to those strengths.
Yeah. I thought it was sick. Zugrug, you went absolutely sicko mode on the Slowbro this game. It was nuts. A bunch of us were having fans of it. Dupesnax and Spraggles and I were riding back to the hotel in our Uber, and we were like, where did that come from? So how, like, have you just always been practicing Slowbro for a long time and not implementing it into a tournament? What's the reason for that? How come we've never seen this god-tier Slowbro, or at least not seen it for a minute? Where did it come from, Zugrug?
I mean, I practice all the tanks, even the ones that aren't, like, viable in tournaments. I feel like I still stay fresh on all of them, but we hadn't, like, recently we've just been playing, like, a lot of Slowbro as a team. And, like, I've obviously got better at playing Slowbro, just playing it a lot. But the one thing that has happened, too, is we've got better at playing as a team around Slowbro. Because, you know, my usual tanks are, you know, things that I just run in on, you know, a Snorlax, Wiggly, and then people follow up. Whereas Slowbro, you know, it's kind of different. Like, you're more defensive, mm-hmm. peeling for the team, or, like, you know, when you pull the trigger with, like, a flash ult or something, you get the one kill. It's like, all right, we got to flip it. You know, we got to do something. So it's definitely, like, an adjustment as a team, like when I'm playing something like Slowbro, and we've done well at, like, playing around my different picks.
Okay, well, cool. I mean, a bit of a team adaptation, that's fine. I guess we don't have to just pump you up as an individual player, but hey, Celestial, your Lucario looked absolutely nuts as well. That was fun to see. Obviously, we know that you, as a top lane player, really prefer this pick over some others, but it looked really good. You brought some unconventional builds, Power Up Punch, Bone Rush, of course, being the one that I think got to mention, but you also got to play a bunch of Extreme Speed into comps that actually favored it. So how are you feeling about Lucario right now? It's definitely not popular, but what are your thoughts on the Blue Dog?
I think Lucario is in a pretty good state, honestly. It's probably the best state it's been in. Not in terms of OP, but it's one of the most balanced mons, I think. It consistently does what you need it to do, and I favor that. If something can consistently do what we need it to do, like, I will always prefer that. That consistency is just really important in Unite.
Yeah. Sorry, I just showed what DMs I'd received. Not the actual text, but the list of them. And so Gamma messaged me so that they'd be at the top of the DM list. So my bad on stream. But I completely agree with you, Celestia. I do think that Lucario is in a pretty good spot compared to where most people's opinions of them are. All right, just last talk about Eos Cup before we move on to just some general questions that we have from Twitter. We'll probably get some from chat here in a minute, so don't worry, chat. We'll get some questions from you. But I got to ask, maybe just rapid-fire roundtable. Let's get everybody's... Let's give their MVP of the tournament. Evocron, who's the MVP of this tournament on your squad?
Can I answer that? Can I answer last?
Absolutely. Lutano, you're up first.
MVP?
Yeah.
I'll give it to Sea Dog.
All right, Sea Dog and Zugrug. So you can say yourself if you would like.
I'll give it to Ender.
Okay. One vote for it's all of a sudden turned into voting, but yeah, one vote for Celestial, one vote for Ender. Celestial.
I mean, Ender got the most ray secures. It's got
to
be Ender.
I have to go for Lutano from the amount of draft prep. Like,
yeah.
The drafts were almost all flawless, and I think that really did a lot for us winning. Oh, it may not be like specifically in game, but it...
mm-hmm. Cool. I that's still worthy of MVP. I think preparation makes things a little bit easier. Ender, how about you?
I never say myself. I definitely think Zugrug. He says like, we all got better on playing on Slowbro, but. I remember at some point during the tournament, I was like, we need to change up a little bit of our draft prep and just make sure we get bro, because it's like smurfing on it today.
Yeah.
It worked out.
Sometimes you just got to, who cares how many guards they have on them? Just get MJ the ball, right? Like, just get MJ the ball, let him shoot. Sometimes that has to be the draft decision. I like that a lot. All right, Evo, currently there is a vote for each member of the team, so you are now the tie prick. Who is going to be the MVP of the tournament from your eyes?
I think I have to say... That's a really tough question. I think I still have to say Ender on this one.
Right.
And the main reason for that is closer to the end of the day, Ender made a really good recognition of what needed to be done within the game. And that's something that I've been trying to emphasize to the team a lot, which is when you're in the game, somebody needs to be the end game shot caller, end game like identifier of what's going on. And from the support role, Ender has a lot more freedom to do that. And so, like, I really appreciate him being able to step up and push the team towards. I distinctly remember Ender indicating that Lutano, you cannot die. You are the carry. We cannot have you die. And just like, spent everything to keep him alive.
Yeah, sometimes you got to. Sometimes you got it all in, but very, very cool. Okay, well, awesome. I think, let's pivot into some questions we have from Twitter. We just mentioned Ender. Ender, let's do the first one for you. This one comes from Xavier Miller saying, what comms do you give to your teammates? Being a support player, what do you like to communicate to your squad when entering a fight? Or are you more specifically of a be told where to be during pivotal moments? Love the podcast. That's for me. And congrats on the win. Love seeing TTV play. Ooh, fit that in flawlessly.
I think... One thing I like to do, and it's more of a back and forth dialogue than me just telling people what to do, is me and Celestial start the game and I'll try to come up with a plan on how I want to approach the lane. Mm-hmm. And then throughout the fights, it's again just like dialogue, like, you know, I'm looking to heal you, or I'm looking to get in position, or, you know, call for an ult. I don't think anyone on our team is more like point and tell this person to do that. Maybe that's sometimes a weakness of ours, but I think the fact that we all trust each other to be able to make like in-game dialogue and like overcall when we need to is also one of our strengths.
Cool. I think it's a good answer. Lutano, this one's for you. A bit of a different energy. The Conte Cowboy says this one. Where do you get off with your trainer card and Hollowware choice?
All I'm saying is, out of all those trainer cards you saw pop up, which trainer card do you remember the most?
That's not
right. Lutano still hasn't figured out how to change it.
If I could say two, it's Megu and Yutao on Telly Bobo. because that one's iconic. But I mean, oh, actually, also Brubs is pretty amazing.
To be fair, we didn't have a chance to watch EU because we were playing.
Okay, okay. Well, in NA then maybe NA we have the top one within the top. I kind of agree with you, Lutano. I think sometimes the no flex is the best flex. So the Hollowware one we'll have to debate. But I think in terms of trainer card, that one's pretty good. Celestial, this one was asked for you and for Otter, but how was it nice reuniting with an old teammate? Or is it just absolute pain to have to play with Otter?
You're muted, Celestial.
T-Dog.
T-Dog. We lost him. We had him for a second.
Wait, hello?
There you are.
There we go.
Okay, it's actually really nice to be back playing with Alan. Feels fitting in a way, you know? Played with him all of last year, and about time.
Cool. Yeah, I reunited, and it feels really good. That's an AOS Cup win, so getting paid so far with it. Zugrug, this one's for you. What is your favorite play that you've made with Slowbro? Did any come to mind, or maybe even like a specific tech you really like doing with Slowbro? I mean, Feppy and I were fangirling about it on the podcast last night about how you were stopping Hoopa resets with Surf. Like, that is not easy. That is actually insane. So, thoughts, what is your favorite play you've made with Slowbro? And if you have any tips for solo queue Slowbro players.
I mean, the best play I made for sure was knocking the three out of the portal after Lutano stole the Reggie and we just cleaned up. Like, Lutano went from like, he goes down there, he's like level 10, and then he's almost level 13. It's like, oh, you know, not bad.
Things went pretty well down here, yeah.
Yeah. Lutano started running away from the portal, and I'm like, Lutano, come back! And he's like, wait a second.
I'm like, there's no way, dude!
There's no way. Hey, you're Speedster, you can go and come back. That's great, that's great. That's so funny. Okay, Evercron, this one was specifically for you. I had it pulled up from Landhands, was saying, what are some tools and tips for any aspiring analyst?
Honestly, loving the data that you're working with, loving the maths that you work with, learning spreadsheets, whether that be Google spreadsheets or Excel, and being curious about the game, learning the mechanics. There's just so much hidden depth behind this game. And even though we have Unite DB, which like a little bit of shill here, like part of it, and we put everything on there. Like,
yeah,
there's a lot of people who just don't really know what Pokemon do. I'm gonna call out my guys here, but they didn't really know what Espeon Psybeam did for damage.
Let's call me out here. Okay, let's be specific. I am proud that I did not know what it did. I am.
Oh my word. Hey, they is a pretty good general term. Very political. I like that a lot. Okay.
E-Dog.
Look, I did not know that thing bounced, okay? Like, I didn't. I didn't know it bounced.
Oh, well, now you do. Thanks, Unite DB. Okay, the next one actually is just general. How many hours are you all practicing as a team? I know right now you're probably going to be taking a break for the next week or two. It's a pretty huge break before the next monthly qualifier. But in preparation for AOS Cup, were you practicing every single day? How many hours a day as a team? I know there's probably some individual streaming and stuff that goes on for some of you. But if you had to say, as a team, we are practicing this much, how many hours are we looking at per day?
Anywhere between 2 to 4 hours a day, and with a cup like a day or two off per week.
Okay.
Cool. I think in the past we've done more, and it's felt like too much, so we've had to find a balance.
We started practicing more efficiently as opposed to with quality over quantity.
That's good. I mean, that's a huge benefit that you can bring to the team, Evercron. So that's awesome. And I have one more question. Why don't you play Hoopa anymore, huh? Specifically Trick Hoopa. I'm adding a lot of attitude to this one because that's how I'm reading it by Run Ray Run on Twitter. But yeah, where's it at, huh?
I love playing Hoopa. Like, it's probably still my favorite character, but I don't know. I mean, I steal one Ray with Egg Bomb and my team's like, we need Blissey every game. So I let them pick it for me.
Okay, well, there you go. All right, I'm not going to read any of the cat questions. No, they're not. They're from everybody else. We talked about Tilt a little bit early on. We said you're all pretty level-headed. We already actually talked about what kind of plays that took you off guard a little bit at tournaments. But Kanashi, a fellow Unite caster, actually asked this question. I thought it was really interesting. What's your opinion of Talipobo Believers? The other, favorite to win AOS Cup, but have won a couple of monthly tournaments in the past. And I know that you have previously played Batoon, who's obviously a superstar over there. Do you work with them at all? Do you not communicate very much because they're in EU? Scram on ping. Any communication with the former teammate of Toon and on Talibobo?
We've scrimmed them a little bit. Obviously, it's tough with the ping. And
Right.
I think they're all really good players. Toon is still our friend. I still bounce ideas back and forth with Toon when it comes to draft and whatnot. It's going to be really fun playing them in Worlds. That's what I'm most excited for.
Okay. Yeah. That's going to be good. That's going to be really fun. Emperor God Ender, when will you stream? I've heard rumors. Very soon. This one's just really fun, and I want to ask it. Anyone can answer this one or none, but I'm curious. If you, as a human being, went into battle on Aeos Island, what three items would you equip yourself with and why? I'd say stick to in-game items, but yeah, what three held items would you strap on if you were going to head into the battle?
Rocky helmet, assault vest, leftovers.
Leftovers is good. I like that as the final occlusion. Well, at least it would see some representation of the game. That's great. That's great. Awesome.
I'm gonna go with Aeos Cookie, Focus Band, and Energy Amplifier. Mm. Energy Amplifier is a megaphone to call for help. Cookie because it's food and rations. And then a focus band because you can probably tear it apart and use it for bindings or first aid.
Yeah, there you go. Cookie's a broken one too because, well, I don't know exactly how the mechanics work or if I could reach the hoop. But if I could dunk Aeos energy in some way, I think I get more cookies. So that seems really good. That seems like infinite food and I'm here for it. This was a fun one. I saw it asked in chat before too. Do you all have a ritual before important games that you do? Is there any team ritual? Do you all sing a song together? I know Lutano does some jumping jacks, but that's usually to negate Tilt, so or if he has to wake up for a 9 a.m. tourney. what is there any pre-game ritual for the squad? Swink scant dunk. That is okay. That's for a different podcast. Lutano, go ahead.
Sometimes we all agree, you know?
Wow. That's terrible. Yeah. unbeatable energy right there. The whole team agreeing.
Before we start early. The game, this is what we're first banning. Agree, and I don't start the game until everyone says agree. And C-Dog hates saying agree.
Agree. That just makes me agree. Like I get like choices in it. Like I don't have a choice. It's just like lock it in, you know?
I just ask when I allowed to pick Lucario. At what stage of the draft do I grab it? That's all I know. Fair enough. Okay, well, awesome. Chat, now's your time. If you want to ask a question, why don't you throw it into the chat now? I actually saw what also on Twitter from Maps, I believe, was saying, anybody playing any other games than Unite right now? Any casual games in your free time?
I play TFT a little bit, just casually, Teamfight Tactics.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly just Unite.
Yeah. Are you? If there was a Pokemon Auto Battler, would you play it, Zugrook?
I'd play. I could learn some more Pokemon that way.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. That was true. Where did the Bone Rush pup Lucario come from? I think we talked about that a little bit, Celestia. You said it was pretty underrated, right?
Yeah, I mean, the moveset's always been good. It's really good into certain matchups. Like, a big one actually is Venusaur, for example. Really good. You just micro stun it over and over again, essentially, and you can burst it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, like, good matchups, especially into like EVs and stuff as well. It's hard to get a close combat off onto them, so Bone Rush just makes more sense.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot. Okay. Somebody asking, who is the most likely to get scared by a horror movie?
I am.
Okay.
100%.
I was going to say Lutano, but...
No, I was going to say Otter, dude. Otter's got that nervous energy, man.
That's true, that team energy that we need. Okay, well, Maps wants to know, Zugrug, How do you balance your gaming life and personal life having so many wives?
You know, it's tough, but we make it work. You know, we go by the saying, happy Zog, happy life. You've heard that one before, right?
I have, from all of your wives in chat.
make them compete as a team.
Yeah. Also, why? Yeah, hasn't they been entering? That's awesome. Also, why?
They played in the tourney, yeah. The Zog wives.
Yeah. I can't believe the chat was letting it happen. do you want Zapdos back now that you have Team Full Send members? Yeah, are we on the bring Eos or bring Remote Stadium back into the rotation now that we have Celestial and Otter? They are broken on that map.
I'll pass, I think. I haven't had the most fondest memories on that map.
Yeah, that's true. The majority, I think, is, yeah. Leave that one alone. Zenith in chat is asking, Zacian is not banned in its current state. Do you think that we're going to see, like, 100% ban rate on Orange side?
No.
No? You don't? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, yes.
Lutana always hates the new Pokemon, though, so we'll see.
Ah, Lutana, you think Zacian's bad.
I say, show me it's good before I ban it.
Lutana said her realization wasn't OP. So
when it was bugged, it was broken, for sure.
I was happy to go along with you for a minute, but I don't know about that. All right. Meta asking, what changes or additions would you want in a new map?
I want a map that lasts 15 minutes long. I think it'd make the game a lot different. Maybe nerf the overall XP on everything, that like promote some more slow play. But I just think it'd be interesting to have a 10-minute map and a 15-minute map.
Okay, here's my crazy idea for a 15-minute map. It would have to be like an alternate mode or something like this. But we have a decent amount of Pokemon in the game that have Mega Evolutions. What if we had a 15-minute map and the level cap went to 20, and if you got to level 15, you Mega Evolved? And then you had like 5 levels of Mega Evolution for the end game. I think that would be pretty fun. That would have to be like quick mode or something. There's no way to balance that. It would be ridiculous. But I do think it would be pretty fun. So that's my hot suggestion that I did talk to Pokemon Company about. But I'd said we all suggested a lot of things. So
oh, he just
know.
Leaked the new map. Oh my god.
I did.
New
I map did. Leak. Oh no. Oh my gosh. Yeah, no luck. Okay, chat, keep questions coming, by the way, if you have any for the side of TTV. Someone asking when will Sea Dog bark? Probably never. I don't want to get canceled.
He promised us.
He promised us.
He would bark.
He said when we win, but now he said when we win worlds.
I did not. It's a world thing.
That's why
what
we had to win.
Okay.
Now he's specified.
Ooh, I like this one. Twitcher United asking Zugroog, if there's friendly fire, who are you knocking out first?
Redacted.
I was laughing. I wonder why.
Yeah, I wonder why.
I'm dead.
Oh my gosh. Ooh, okay, that's kind of a fun question. Just say, who is the best non-TTV member for your respected roles? Ender, best support in North America. Okay, that's like tier listy stuff. That's a pretty big question. Ender, is there a support out there you really respect quite a bit, what they're doing on the map?
I think I'll give it to JL. He played Dota in the same position I played in Dota, I think.
Okay, sick.
So we have like a similar kind of mindset.
Okay. I like that. Celestial, any other top laners out there right now?
Skip me for now. Come back to me.
Okay. Zugrek, tanks.
I mean, I think Slash, because we've been playing against each other for a long time, but Roland has been looking really good this season on ASU.
Yeah, Roland's looking sick too. ASU is just a whole squad. How about you, Lutano? Any junglers?
Trainer.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Okay, a lot of love for ASU across the board. I like this a lot. Celestia, have you thought of a new one?
I guess I just have to go Overlord. Sure. You know, kind of the expected answer, but... Yep.
That's totally fine. Evocron, any analysts out there you want to go into a 1v1 analyst fight with?
I primarily think there's just Ven. There aren't... I don't think there are a lot of analysts around, per se. And if there are more, like, I have not necessarily interacted with them.
Sure. Fair enough. Okay, cool. I think we'll go with this one last rapid fire question before we wrap up the show. But if you had to be a gym leader, what type would you want to train, Evocron?
Probably water.
Okay. Okay, water type's pretty cool. Ender?
Maybe like grass, like a grass psychic or something, like a dual type.
Oh, dual type gym. Okay, very fun, very fun. Celestial?
Dark type gym. There's so many cool dark type mons.
You're
honestly
so edgy.
Dude, he's so edgy. Oh my gosh. The emo music that would be playing when you walk into Celestial's gym would be a bop. I'm not going to lie. I'd be there for it. Zugrog, what types?
I get all the cat types.
All the cat types? Okay, so no Pokemon at all. Evocron, what were you saying?
Were we allowed to do devil types?
Sure, yeah, why not? I don't know, it breaks the rules, but it's a new gen. We can do whatever we want.
Okay, I'll go water and steel then.
Water, steel, okay, that's pretty fun. That's pretty fun. Lutano.
Poison fighting.
Ooh, just Toxicroak. Six Toxicroak. I like it. That's a fun combination too. Okay, well, awesome. Cool. I think it's minus ghost. Duh. Anyway, I think that's a good spot to end it. Thank you so much for joining the interview, everybody, especially to the team here. Congrats on winning AOS Cup yet again, but I would be remiss if I didn't give you all a chance to sell out, shout out, plug whatever you need to. Where can people find you on their socials? Just a quick roundabout one more time. Evocron, where can people find you?
I don't remember my Twitter handle, actually. Can you come back to me?
Yes. Oh, I love gamers. Ender, you're next.
Just Ender on Twitch, and then everything's linked in there.
Cool, cool. Celestial?
It's just Celestial Unites on Twitter and Twitch. That's pretty much the only two things I use.
There you go. Go find him. Zugrug?
Zugrug on Twitch.
Cool, cool, cool. Lutano?
Lutano on Twitch. Lutano _ hots on Twitter.
Fantastic. Evocron, did you find it?
Yeah, it's IanFan_13 on Twitter. On Twitch, I'm Evocron13. I don't stream a lot, but if you want to follow anyways, sure.
Go support the analysts of the scene, for sure, for sure. Well, thank you, everybody. If you want to follow me on Twitter, at Zoinkscast, but more importantly, follow Unite Mics at Unite Mics. Go check out the YouTube channel where we'll be posting this episode and all the other episodes of Overdunk, as well as if you are watching this on or listening to this on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Google or whatever it is, please leave that 5-star review. It just helps more people find the show. But with all of that out of the way, thank you so much to TCV for joining this interview. Thanks, everybody in chat, for showing up to the live recording, and we'll see you all next time. Goodbye.